This is JFM Podcast. Everyday political stories feel
like in the national chairman of the police community relations
from the regular.
It is time for us to unite and move the step forward
to the absurd.
The Senate President has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay is not good.
Yeah, motivation and even
the moral, and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanap. It's a beautiful day. Today, Monday, 4th of March, 2024. Gilbert, good evening. How's the day and how's the going?
Good evening, Ponsak. How was your weekend? My day was great. How was yours?
Well, weekend was... I had a very restful weekend, I would say. A lot of reflection, things to catch up with, you know. And I have to say that we lost the wife of one of our senior colleagues, that is Chief Nanyak Daman.
Oh.
His wife has gone to be with the Lord. She passed over the weekend. Such a lovely lady, you know, always smiling, always, you know, has something very interesting, you know, to say. I'm talking about the kind of relationship that I had with her, you know. While she was still here. She died after very brief, you know, that kind of... I mean, when I heard about her passing, I said, there are some things that, you know, when you hear them, it doesn't make sense. You know, nah, I really don't know how to, you know, receive, you know, the news on Saturday. But the wife of Chief Nanyak Daman has gone... she has departed. She has gone to be with the Lord. We pray that God will grant the family comfort.
Amen.
Rest her soul. And pardon her shortcomings.
I never got to really meet his wife.
Yeah.
But of course, he's somebody I know, you know, always puts up a big smile.
Yeah.
And it's a really tough one to take when you have someone very close to you. And the only way I would always say, you need to assess, you know, the pain that death brings to you is to think about your loved one
who
once passed away, because we all have that. Provided you live on the earth here, you know, we have lost one relation or the other, friends, associates, and all that.
Yeah.
And may God grant him the fortitude as well as the family to bear the irreparable loss.
Thank you.
And may her soul rest in peace once again.
Amen. Amen. And this is wishing the wife of... our dear friend, our colleague, Namu Agolog. Today is Barrister Fumi Layo Namu Agolog. Today is your birthday. I pray that God bless you.
Amen. And keep immensely. Immensely.
Happy birthday to our Yahoo. You know, how do they say it? Well, Gilbert, today marks 25 years since my father, you know, died.
Wow.
Last night.
Is that Silver Jubilee?
Yeah, Silver Jubilee, 25 years. Last night, you know, we're taxing with my sister. Apparently, you know, she was keeping tabs with what, the memorial and 2020. At times, I, you know, the feeling is like you never had a dad, you know.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And I'm not that kind of person that I wallow in my, oh, how I wish my father was there. I'm not.
Tough skinned.
No, not tough skin. Okay. I mean, what will it change if he was alive? That's how I look at it. You know, I'll still be living my life, you know, doing my own thing. But I believe that things, you know, happen for a reason, you know. This is sending your special thank you, you know, to my mother. You know, did an excellent job of raising three young children, you know. And here's what it is today. That is why widows have a special place in my heart, though I don't get to say it, you know, very often, especially those that, you know, they have young children, because it's not easy, Gilbert. It's not, especially for women in our society, true, you know, all of the stereotype and at every point of a woman's life, if she's working, making money, they call her a prostitute. If she's into politics, they say, no, she sells her body, you know, for position.
It's a long web.
Yeah, so it's I mean, what will women do, and everybody, will celebrate?
Admit that they're doing the right things.
Yeah, too. So, I mean, give women some break and, you know, try to celebrate them, because I have them and, you know, they're very nice. Well, Gilbert, what stories have you kept tabs with over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, the food situation, the situation where people basically broke into a warehouse in Abuja, you know.
That's like a deja vu what happened in Jos.
Yeah, but I think the follow-up, you know, these things have a way of developing and not really connected to that situation as such, is the fact that the Labour Party presidential candidate in the last election came out to reveal something that many Nigerians hitherto did not know, that the Ukrainian government sent in food to Nigeria in aid to those who are in the, you know, northeastern region, as a result of the challenges they're also being faced with. Now you look at the comparison, what Ukraine is going through at the moment, you know, it's something that is commonplace in everybody's heart and head. But such a country is well able to donate food. I think about 25,000 or 25 million metric tons of grains, you know, to Nigeria. It says a lot about the way they're running their country and the way they were running our country. Mm-hmm. You know, look at a country basically in war, full-blown war, and yet it's able to have enough food to feed its populace and then to even send some, not for commercial purposes, but for charity. Is it charity or for assistance to a nation that is supposedly running and kicking on its foot? So it's something that we have to draw a lesson, a huge lesson from. I agree that we have some of the challenges of insecurity, but compared to what Ukraine is going through, it's about pocket of events for us. You know? Yeah. But so we have to get back on track. We have to really admit that there's a problem. And if anything, the events that unfolded in Abuja should send a powerful message to the president about what we're having to deal with in the country and the need to roll off his sleeves again and get down to business, get down to work. What is it that we have to do differently to cushion the effects of these things so people have, you know, a sign of a better life or good living? Because most Nigerians, if you ask them, will say return the country back to where you met it. You know, so there was a time at least people relatively could feed their families. We all experienced these things. You could think about dealing with other challenges, more like school fees, you know, more like how to get to work and all of that. But it never got this bad where people couldn't eat. People have to break into places. People have to stop vehicles at prayer points or wherever it is that they have to, just to, even though some of these things are not as legal and as recommendable. But what can you say?
Yeah.
You know, when people are going through what they are going through right now.
It just shows, Gilbert, that there's despondency. I mean, that's what I'm going to term that, for people to break into a warehouse. And by the way, we're not supporting what they did, because what they did is very illegal. It's not in accordance, you know, to our well-established laws. But if you look at the motive, I mean, it's desperation, you know, hunger. How much is, they said noodles right now is about 20,000 naira. That you can hardly get noodles, one pack, you know, of maybe 10 grams or how many grams. I mean, the cheapest is like 500 naira. And these are food items. How much is a mudu of beans?
Imagine how children love to eat that.
Yeah.
How they love to take those to school.
Yeah, I learned that one bag of beans is about 100,000. How do you want people, you know, to live? How much is, you know, maize, one mudu? How much is rice? But again, some traders are into some really sharp practice that, you know, that it's unethical. I would say it's immoral. I mean, I I'm in full support for the laws of business, maximizing profit. But if you go the extra mile, you know, to press the neck of the poor person just to extract a profit, and you're not even giving value for money, then, you know, that is theft, and that is very immoral act. Well, Gilbert, the funeral of late Silvanus Naman over the weekend, Governor Mudfang was there, and
the former governor was there.
I have to say this, that I was really, really disappointed in what Governor Lalong said. You know, there I was. I felt even ashamed.
I didn't hear what he said.
Why will you go to a funeral and then he's asking, or he was asking Governor Mudfang, that Governor Mudfang should open back the State House of Assembly? Why will you do that? Well, people are mourning, you are advancing your own political interests. I think that, you know, Governor Lalong is an elder, so to say, in society. Why would you say that you are using this medium to ask Governor Mudfang to open back the House of Assembly? Was it Governor Mudfang that locked up the House of Assembly?
Yeah. House of Assembly.
What hands does he have, you know, in the operations of the House of Assembly? I mean, all the while, and Governor Mudfang hasn't said anything. All we've been hearing is from Speaker Gabriel Dewan. But for me, Governor Lalong was, insensitive.
I was trying to dodge the word insensitive.
And I heard that he was even booed, you know, that it was very, very insensitive.
That's the height of insensitivity. And as Chinua Achebe will say, where is your adipose tissue? That's the question. If you're human and then you feel, you know, I saw some pictures. You could see people dressed in black, you know. If anything, that should ring down into your consciousness. The state, the mood of the people at that particular moment. And then, do people seek advisors? Do they have advisors? Or there has to come a time, when you have to ask, what do I need to say in this place? I think it's the honorable thing to do. He was governor, and we saw some of the things that majority of the people who kept listening to the things he said could not just connect, you know, exactly the messages. I think it's high time the former governor begins to listen to people, or begins to even adopt the habit of reading, follow the script, if anything.
You have people who
can write these things to you.
I do understand, Gilbert, but as a Christian, number one, the Bible has made it very clear for us in Romans, I think, chapter 12. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And Governor Lalong is a KSG, trivializing the funeral service of the late Silvanus Lam and bringing politics.
I think before the pulpit.
I mean, I'm very thankful, you know, Governor Mudfang. I mean, the man is showing impeccable maturity.
Absolutely.
When he mounted the podium, he said, "Look, Plateau people, we need unity." He said he hasn't met the late Namang in person before, but he's here. I mean, that is how a leader, you know, should talk. Not, you know, any opportunity, they should bring back the house of... Who cares about, them?
Before now, he had the opportunity, the leverage, to ask his former director of press, now his media aide, to write statements. If there's something that bothers you, say, look, I'm advising you openly, if at all you think he's the one who locked up the house. So there are numerous opportunities through which you can do these things.
I want to believe that they have, you know, their own clique as former governors. Former Governor Dare, former Governor Jang, former Governor Lalong. You know, I think that, you know, they offer advice to anybody who is the present governor. You know, that's what I want to believe. Governor Mudfang is not somebody that is running. Or have you looked for him and spoken to him, you know, in private to say, "Your Excellency, please, I'm suggesting for the prosperity and peace of the state." And then you are using the funeral of, you know, your... It doesn't just make sense. You know, for me, it doesn't. And people
the key
should...
The word there is insensitivity.
Absolute insensitivity.
Unfortunately, it has to be said. Unfortunately, wherever.
And I'll say the height of immaturity.
And may the soul of late Mr. Silvanus Nama, rest in peace.
Amen.
That's really imperative.
Amen. Well, I think let's just introduce our guests, the Transition Committee Chairman of Mangu local government is here with us. Mr. Honorable Marcos Arto is here. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming.
It's good to be back here again after quite a while. Good evening, listener out there.
Yeah, we can see the gray hairs you have has increased.
It comes with
the responsibilities of office.
The pressure as well.
Well, I mean, you heard what we just were saying. Apart from the fact that you are, you know, transition committee chairman, you are an excellent public intellectual, public affairs. What do you think, you know, for leaders to use a funeral service to make it political? I mean, when you heard that, what came to your mind?
Ponsad, I was hoping you were not going to drag me into this, because it's not anything any sane person would want to talk about. It's unfortunate that for Lalong and his cohorts, for them everything is politics. At the time, we are thinking of how we can move the state forward, considering the damage they've done to the psyche of the people and how much devastation they have brought to the state. And I was thinking that, you know, having left office, it would have given him time to reflect on the past 8 years of his misrule. And what he should be doing, actually, is trying to do penitence, other than seizing every opportunity to, you know, to project himself in the kind of light. I don't know how he sleeps with himself. You know, it's unfortunate that people, and you saw the reaction of the crowd. It's quite unfortunate, and I would have thought that he has handlers who would have gotched the mood of the people. It was not the occasion. It's condemnable. It's sad that at this level of our development, we're still dealing with this kind of situation. I thought the best thing was to allow the Naaman's family to actually, you know, bury their among their dead peacefully, other than the kind of show of shame, as I see, that we saw there.
Well, let me ask you this question. You are an indigene of Mangu local government. Mangu has been a very peaceful local government. I mean, all religions, they coexist with each other in a very peaceful, tranquil. You conduct commerce, a lot of cultural activity. How did you feel as the local, no, even as an indigenous, someone indigenously from Mangu, when young people, you know, belonging to different faiths, took up arms, you know, against themselves in Mangu Township? How did it make you feel, you know, at the time?
It was seriously quite depressing. It was, I wish I could have the right words to actually describe the way I felt. Because no one ever envisaged, considering the very rich history of Mangu in terms of peaceful, harmonious coexistence, it has happened, and what has happened has happened. It's one moment of our life that we wished, and we hope and pray that we'll never see it in Mangu. And I'm happy that immediately it did happen, we realized and then came together as a people and begin to ask ourselves questions as to, well, really, where did we lose it? What happened to us? And I can tell you clearly that what actually happened among us was not any case of a brother taking on a brother, but people who have been looking in the wings, crisis merchants that have been, you know, looking for an opportunity to unleash terror on the people. Under the guise that it was a brother thing. It was never a brother thing. It is not in our character as people in Mangu, because there is hardly any house that you will not find a Christian and Muslim. So it was unthinkable. And nobody imagined it. And clearly I can tell you It wasn't a mango thing. But that, I've said this before. Mm. Maybe because over time, we accommodated all manners of people in the town. Mm.
You think, you know, I mean, that is even the narrative in Jos here. Will you say that Plateau people should change that warm culture of accepting everybody from all walks of life, non-judgmental, because it has brought hurt, pain, and division in our society? Because I can't imagine Mangu local government, very peaceful place, religious, you know, diversity, and then all of a sudden people wake up and start. Do you think that Plateau indigenous people should have a conversation to say, look, we need to change this, the aspect of our culture of accepting people? Because, I mean, if the Plateau person was violent, Birom will fight against Magavul or Birom against, but we've never had, you know, anything like that
before. I'm telling you, it's not about our rich culture of accommodation, our rich culture of hospitality. It's not about that. But it's about those who are bent on bringing Plateau back to its knees. It's about impacting negatively on the social, economic, and political life of our people. Because I tell you, when we had a stakeholders meeting, I asked if truly the way people would want to give it some form of religious correlation, this fight never started in the monks, not in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did not see Imam on the other side or a pastor on this other side leading. But that it is people who have come, crisis merchants, terrorists, whatever you want to call them, that want to destroy the economy of our people, the socio-economic life of our people. Because shops were looted. People go out there and destroy farms. So it has nothing to do with religion. But that the ways of our lives, our source of livelihood, it's what is being targeted.
It's just economy.
It's pure terrorism. It's pure, I mean, it's wickedness. There's no other name you will give it other than what I've just described it. So it's not about our being hospitable people, no. But again, it is for us to, for me, it is a wake-up call. It has also, even as you accommodate these people, that you must also watch out.
Vigilant.
Yeah, be vigilant. Mm. Because it is gone are those days that you just go to sleep. Because people, I don't know for whatever reason, Plateau State has become a target for some people to bring it to his knees. This is no longer politics, unfortunately. Because I have seen the massive destruction of farmlands. I've seen the massive destruction, looting, and you know how the economy, the source of livelihood of our people, was targeted. So it's got nothing to do with the fact any religious connotation is a subterfuge, as far as I'm concerned. It's just to send a signal out there but that is not the intent. I can tell you this from what I have seen and witnessed, unfortunately.
When these things were happening, I remember very well, I had to, you know, at one occasion get to Mangu, you know, as a result of the work we do and everything. And I know how well, you know, engaged we were, constantly on the phone, you know, trying to find solutions, speaking to different persons. At times we were even unreachable on the phone because your phone was constantly busy. How has life picked up in Mangu right now for people who perhaps have no idea what's going on, you know, at the moment and all that? Have people started thinking about going back to the farms? Because, of course, there has been this talk about food crisis. Of course, we know the role that Mangu local government plays in terms of the food supply chain, the maize, of course, and even, you know, some portion of potatoes from there and all of this. What's happening right now? What's the situation with that?
I can tell you, you know, our people are very resilient. Our people, you know, are very people who are who have faith, who believe that whatever thing that has happened, they are trying to put it behind them. Because we must find a way to get back the pieces of our lives. And that we are doing by engaging ourselves in talking. Because we have since discovered that the way out of this lockdown is dialogue. They need to come to the table and then understand that indeed nobody benefits from what is happening. Because at the end of it, all we're all victims. And so, we are gradually getting there. I can tell you that our people are eager to go back to their farms. Our people are eager to go back to their homes. And I want to appreciate His Excellency for leading that effort to see to the restoration of peace in the local government. He has provided that uncommon leadership. And we have him to be thankful and grateful. The engagements at different levels, there. And I can tell you, in no distant future, you will see the result of the very aggressive and rigorous, intensive, engagements we have been having. Because, like I said, the only panacea to growth and development and progress of it is peace. Mm. And since we have realized that, we have taken the bull by the horn, that this is our place. Nobody will do it but us. And we have taken the charge. All of us are involved. And we intend that we'll rescue Mungo from the clutches of those who do not wish us well. That I can assure you.
The situation with, I always would like to, make mention of people in the IDP camps. Mostly you'd find that it's women and children.
Yeah.
And the hardship, displaced from school, medical facilities and all that. And what are some of the measures you have put in place? And what, are certain things that you have done right from when this broke out up until now? Just so our listener gets to know.
Of course, we've been working around the clock. Unfortunately, like you did mention, it is always the women and the children that bear the brunt of this kind of situation, unfortunately. And you know that nobody would want to leave his comfort zone and go and stay in IDP. But a lot of places have been stabilized. We have, beyond the engagement, we have also done massive deployment of security personnel around the struggle spots.
And it's yielding results.
Yes. And so many other steps and measures are also being put in place. It's not something that I would want to discuss.
True.
Because of the sensitive nature of it. And I can assure you that we're working tirelessly. We will get there by the grace of God.
Glad that you mentioned, security and all that. I was going to ask you about the civil-military relations that's going on right now in Mungo. How are the civilians, relating with the military and the military with the civilians, owing to the tone that the events in the past attempted to take?
Well, it is not a very normal situation that anyone would tell you that is something that is used to it. It's something that we woke up to discover that, they are all over the place. And then somehow, both sides, as much as we would want to avoid saying, but there are always frictions here and there. You always find that. But again, at every point, dialogue has remained key in resolving some of these gray areas. That is just so that we can collectively work together and then ensure that normalcy is returned today. Because the two sides must work together to bring about lasting peace. And it is not funny. But again, it is something that we have to live with.
All right. Generally, what's your assessment of this government? Help us talk about, of course, we always knew you as a fantastic intellectual when it comes to, you know, public discourse. Your robust arguments have proven to be quite instrumental. Help us to assess this government, the areas of strength and areas within which, not necessarily now as a chairman of Mangu local government, but as someone who is always wishing that plateau succeeds.
Believe you me, at this point, we couldn't have had it better than what we are. Because judging from where we're coming from, plateau was on its knees, begging for a breath of fresh air. And then he came along, His Excellency, I remember I was in this studio and I said, beyond being on the PDP platform, that since Ekaleb is involved, definitely it is going to be a turning point for the state. And maybe I shouldn't be the one answering this, because whether you like it or not, somehow you'd want to say that as an active player.
That's true.
Active participant in the government, naturally. But again, you go to the streets, the smiles on the faces of the people, and what people are saying, the joy, the happiness. And that is why the man has, become like an enigma. Wherever he goes, he attracts that kind of ovation and applause from the people, because they are seeing different approach, the kind of finesse, the kind of style, the kind of color he has brought into governance. I mean, not to even, here is a man with a strength of character. I mean, in all that has happened to him, through from the election to the tribunals and what have you.
Security.
And yes. He remains, his compartment is something that you can take away from. A complete gentleman. And Plateau couldn't have had a better leader at this point in time. He is focused. He understands the issues. He knows his onions. He knows where the state is coming from, where it's going to. And he has discharged that with some kind of dignity. I mean, Plateau is having it so beautiful. And for the first time, it's one can boldly and proudly, identify and say that he is a Plateau man anywhere on the face of the earth.
Yeah, well, I'd like to ask you a question about IDPs, and especially young children who their school has been interrupted with this insecurity. What have you been doing to make sure that they don't lose so much time, because learning is a continuous event that we do. What have you been doing, to ensure that these kids, continue with their schooling, despite the fact that they're not in their original homes?
I can tell you so much has been done. In terms of, there is an innovation that these people have been enrolled, and then to ensure that none of these places that have been affected, loses any of whether they are in those communities or not. Because even just last week, the chairman of SBEP sent some people to go and enroll, register these people. Mm. And schools have been also created, even within
the IDP
camps, representing different communities. And that is just to say that even in our challenge, we could still turn it into a fantastic opportunity. And I went there, I saw what has been done, I saw how it has been organized, so fantastic. And I can tell you that, I hope that in the very near future, I will invite the two of you to come and see what we are doing.
No problem.
Because the chairman of SBEP is doing wonderfully well in that area.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Well, let's open the phone lines in case you just tune in. We've been having a chat with the Transition Committee Chairman of Mangu, Honorable Marcus Artu. You can join the conversation 081-2187-7777 or you call 090-556-6699.
You can send us your comments on Facebook at JFM Live. On X, we are JFM Just. Head over there and we'll take as much as we can your comments.
Please, if you call, turn down the volume of your radio. If you get access to the live studio, you'd have to tell us your name and where you're calling from 1 minute and then you make your comment just in 1 minute. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Oh?
Yes, thank you for calling.
Yes, I am calling from Realty. My name is Osa Khaled.
Thank you for calling. We're listening.
I acknowledge your presence, Pastor and Gilbert, and your guests. Your guests have spoken very well. I want to acknowledge your presence too. You have been doing very, very nice job. But I want to comment for the statement of Honorable Senator, I mean the former governor. That statement was so hard for him to mention that kind of word, that the governor should open the national the state assembly. During his time, he is controlling him. Nobody was controlling him. So let him allow the governor to control his state. He doesn't have any mandate to do about it. His position now as a senator is not a senator of Southern Zone. He's a senator of the court and himself. His statement is very provoking. Hello?
Yeah, well, listen, wrap up your thoughts.
Yes. So I want to say that statement is very, very wrong. Nobody is controlling him during his time. So let him allow the governor to do what he wants.
Thank you.
If the state government can do that, he can do that. If they cannot do that, they cannot do that. He doesn't have any relationship with that section that he should open the state as assembly. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Hello. Hello. Good evening. Okay. 08121877777. Oh, he calls 0905566699. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Sadiq Umar. I'm calling from Teacher Chingong Shop.
Well, listening. Thanks for calling, yeah. Sadiq.
Yeah, I will comment your guest. You have spoken very, very well. But I will start my comment by the condolence of the APC chieftaincy that was lost in Plateau State. This is a loss to Platoonians in general. And it is very, very unfortunate that the former governor, upon all what he did, even have got to challenge the people's governor. Because Caleb Mutfan, since the initial of his inauguration, Plateau State have changed. But you see, there is a need to let that beg Plateau by the former governor because of the malgovernance that have been for the past all over his tenure. So for him to even talk about the House of Assembly is an unfortunate issue. And it is something that it is a plan on ground that the APC wanted to plot. But no matter what it is, we are very, very sure that the governor attention cannot shift from the good things we have been doing. So I'm calling on the Platoonians in terms of living peace and unity. If we look at peace is the number one thing that we render as a governor. And Barrister Caleb Mutfan cannot able to say that he's just a chief security in paper. If we look at the things that is happening in Plateau State, I think it's political in nature.
Yeah. So wrap up your thoughts.
Of Plateau State, they have already understood. And I think the stakeholders of Plateau State, they should support Barrister Caleb Mutfan, not bringing propaganda based on political issues or based on other issues. It's the development of Plateau State that Barrister Caleb Mutfan is doing and is the support that the people supposed to know. Whoever is bringing problems to Barrister Caleb Mutfan, Plateau people are recognizing him. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you too, Sadiq. Thanks for sharing your thought. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Well, very good evening.
Thanks for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Yeah. Thank you very much. This is the voice of Angwaru Kuba, great comrade. I don't answer for Solomon.
It's like you have lots of fans, even in the studio. Go ahead. Tell us, join the conversation.
Thank you very much. I concur with what the guest said. You have said the right thing. But let me come to your concern. I'm not surprised of what the former governor said, because he has never said anything that will at least that will develop the state, even when he was governor. So I'm not surprised. But this man was the first person of the party. That is probably that he doesn't care about his demise. All what he wants is open the Senate assembly. And one of the recent social people as leaders, I see a leader, because it is expected that a leader should always care of his people. And you should give civil Zaman that respect. It's very unfortunate. But let me ask this question about attack in Mango on the plateau. Where are those who were arrested? Who were arrested, Konzak? And again, is this attack, what is the name of the attack on the plateau? Is it that let us attack you and collect our land? Oh, let's give us our land. Oh, we will collect your land. You know, and for me, you know, this same former governor said it some time ago when he was in Niger. He said he's on top of the situation of what is happening on the plateau between the clashes between the hiders and farmers. Even in my comfort zone, and somebody come and attack me, is that one a clash? There's a difference between clash and attack and crisis. So, you know, so on the plateau, we are taking things for granted. No matter how high I place are you, it's also some statements that are uncle that are not let him be, he should be account for it. We are allowing you to go that way, therefore we are having some very, very problems on the plateau. God rescue us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, comrade. Hello, good evening, thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening.
Yes, thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation.
Sponsor, good evening.
Yes, thank you.
Gilbert Joseph and your guest.
Yeah, tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
This is Comrade Marambulu, and you calling you from Tefo in Bokol.
Well, listening. Thanks for calling.
I have never taken, you know, the former governor of Plateau State, somebody who is what very serious when it comes to what governance, you know, Sponsor. Anytime he make a statement, in fact, when you look at it, in fact, even a secondary secondary head boy of secondary school will try to make sure that, in fact, he articulates his statement before dishing out to the public. So I have never taken him serious. He is accusing the governor. So this is what they have been planning with other intruders to come and impeach. So all he is after is let the House of Assembly be open so that the appeal court lawmakers will come and start disturbing the governor. I think that is what that man, I don't know. But you people, you just ignore or forget about him. Let me tell you something. No, you know, politically, no, Lalong has gone on forever. I'm not talking about death, but when it comes to politics, he has gone forever on the plateau. He has no any support. But if he is truly a leader, let him walk on the street. No, of Plateau State or any part of even his own hometown in Shandam without any security, and see whether people will applaud him and will clap for him. So what are we talking about? Lalong is somebody that when you listen to him, in fact, even a chairman of local government, chairman, or even a councillor will articulate his statement before what dishing it out. Look at the insert recently, the insert that you people normally do, that he's as I am now, I'm a confused man. No, I don't even know where to go to the left or to go. No, a leader. No, who will know should be giving?
Well, wrap up your thoughts.
So please. No, Plateau said no. Should what give Mufwang not a chance? In fact, and we are solidly behind him. No matter what, in fact, the hurdles. No, we know will cross, and nobody will even hear our governor.
Thank you.
He has come to stay. Thank you. Have a nice time.
Thank you. 0812187777. Hello. Good evening. Thank you for calling. Yes, thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening.
Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
This is Izang calling from Tefo.
Thank you, Izang, for calling. We're listening to you.
I don't know. Lalong has been running of people in the plateau. Well, all the time, is Lalong, because they expect about better things.
Hello? Okay. I think we lost connection there. Hello.
Hello, good evening, Pastor.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
My name is Solomon Atang. I'm calling from Jurgen Phone, please.
Please go ahead. We're listening to you.
I want to contribute on this issue of Simon Bakola Long.
Please go ahead, sir.
You see, everybody is entitled to his own opinion. And people are just waiting for someone to make a comment, and then they will look for a way to criticize. For me, you can say your own comment and then you let it go. Not that when people are just waiting for leaders to say something and then they will criticize. It's not good in our democracy. We should learn to respect each other. And another thing I want to say is that the members that are supposed to represent in the House of Assembly, that they are supposed to take their position, know that someone will be speaking for them. We don't have democracy in Plateau State because the members that are supposed to challenge the governor, they are not there. What are they wasting time? They're supposed to be in the office now so that we know whether government is doing right or doing wrong. This is really bringing us backwards because, to me, nothing is moving in Plateau State. So they should know, they should try and come back and take this government seriously. Government without challenging, that government doesn't make any decision. But government that has a strong criticism, that government moves forward very, very well. We want to know the weakness of this government and then the achievement of this government. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. After this, Gilbert will take us through social media. Hello. Good evening. Thank you for calling. Hello.
This is A.S. Francis. I'm calling from Chidiwada.
Thank you for calling. We're listening to you.
You know, I'm in support of the last speaker from Jarawa, you know, something like that.
Yeah, just make your comment, yeah.
If you follow any statement made by former governor, which means I'm telling you, this state will just look like they created the state newly. All the opinion that, whatever they say, just say, let's use it for its own opinion. Does that statement make anything? The governor has also reopened the House of Assembly. Let's forget about whatever you say. There's something that we'll talk about, something that we can bring development to Plateau State. So that is my take this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Well, Gilbert.
On X, Ephraim Choji says, honestly, I think it's a welcome development in the state and more is expected from them, and the local government should be given the autonomy to function on their own. And Bolt, at Mr. Bolt 247, says, I completely agree with you. Local government administration plays a crucial role, honorable, in bringing development and progress to the grassroots level. It's important for local governments to be active and vibrant to ensure that the needs and aspirations of the people are met. And Robinson Angni says, His Excellency has carefully and deliberately put in the helm of affairs an astute administrator. And as of the time I'm writing, he is touring the 17 local governments for in-depth analysis and fruitful outcome for an active, productive local government administration on the plateau. Let's move over to Facebook, where Felkuka Gohan says, to those sworn in today, I say congratulations, but the issue from Lalong, if really he said something of that nature, he did wrong by bringing politics during mourning. But you guys, okay, you're taking it too far. You're saying, if Lalong were in office, will you use those words on him? Well, Comrade Longa Dawood says, life in Mongol local government has become a very difficult one, especially in terms of food insecurity. Calling for the peace of our father's land, nobody is a winner in this crisis. Let's live together in peace. Local government is one of the tiers of government that is very important in our country today, and it will not be wrong if development does not reach there. Bold Dave Jonathan says, local government administration plays a crucial role in bringing development and progress to the grassroots level. It's important for local governments to be active and vibrant to ensure that the needs and aspirations of the people are met. When local governments are fully functional, they can effectively address issues like infrastructure, education, healthcare, and other essential services. Iji Awo Friday says, good evening to you all in the house. The hungry in Nigeria now. The hunger in Nigeria now is obvious. If only President Tinubu wants to get it right, let him reopen the borders and also buy 200 million bags of rice for each Nigerian with NIN number. It will allow him to fix other things. Dave Dan says, there should be a key performance index, KPI, that should be used to ascertain if the appointees are performing as expected. All hands must be on deck to make the plateau land green. And Elegant Matt says, it's important for local government chairmen to be accountable and faithful to the people. And this is really important. Agong John Monday says, the interest of the people should be first. Allocation of resources and monitoring is for local government to succeed. And finally, they should be given their autonomy, please. Ishaku Lionel says, it's unfortunate that the local government that was created basically to bring governance closer to the people has been reduced to the status of an agency or ministry. Where chairman is being chosen and told what to do, and he has no right or freedom to make decision on his own. Then Dungbam says, good evening, Ponsa Gilbert and Honorable Marcus Arto. Local government administration should be duly engaged because it's closer to the people, and if we want our state and the nation to be productive, then paying a keen interest to the local government administration must be of the utmost priority. Clement D. Basile says, may God grant the new advisors and government wisdom and strength to move the state ahead. Suleiman Jibril says, always my prayer is that may Almighty Allah give us a good leadership who has Nigeria and Nigerians at heart. And I also pray to you, Mr. Ponsak, may Almighty Allah continue to be with you, guide and protect you from your enemies, known and unknown. And amen. Julius Achigak says, local governments have important role to play for the progress and development of the people at the grassroots, but unfortunately, they are not being given the enablement to do enough and to bring development at the local level. Let local governments try and improve very well so that democracy can be felt at the grassroots level.
Yeah. Well, Honorable Arthur, please go ahead and give your response and your final word.
It's out there. I mean, from the aggregate reaction of Plateau people, you know that indeed they are with this government. They wish it well. And no matter how much detractors like Pastor Lalong would want to bring, remain focused, resolute, because it's the resolve of Plateau people that we must develop the state. And that is exactly what the captain of the time, this now administration, is doing, because the indicators are there all over the place, from Kampan to Basa. And I can tell you, as for local government chairmen that are at the helm of affairs at the moment, I can vouch for them in terms of their commitment, their determination to also make impression in the minds of the people. And I'm glad to note that it's public knowledge that the commissioner is going around to have a feel and see these things for itself, and that the people are happy that indeed we have a new lease of life. So much is being done in terms of infrastructural development, in terms of human capital development, in terms of reaching out to the people, in terms of, you know, accessibility to how much government is doing. And I'm sure that we'll continue on that trajectory, because we have sought, and we have no other business than to improve the lives of our people.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in government.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Honorable Marcus Arto, the Transition Committee Chairman of Mangu Local Government. Gilbert, your final word.
Very important. We have to live together in peace.
Or we perish as fools.
As fools, yeah.
My name is Ponsak Fanab. The news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock. Do have a good evening. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.